So Radharani is it's explained that she's the Sarva Shakti Mool. All the different Shaktis. She's the root or the basis of all the potencies of Krishna. Krishna has Prasya Shakti Vavadaya Shriyate. He has Vidya Shakti, Shristi Shakti, Pralaya Shakti, and Palana Shakti. Unlimited Shaktis, potencies, power of creation, the power or potency of creation, destruction, maintenance, the power of joy, the power of knowledge, you know, Vidya Shakti, so many Shaktis he has. The power of bliss, Ladini Shakti, Sandini Shakti, the power of eternality, the power to make something eternal, or to maintain, or keep something existing eternal, eternally. And then he has Sandini Samvit. Sandini also means existence. To create, to make something exist, to have something exist in time and space, in this world, or in the spiritual world, that's one of Krishna's potencies. So as explained in other places in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Srimati Radharani, she's referred to as the Sarva Shakti Mool. She's the root. She's the root of all the Shaktis. Because we understand that there's God is one and God is two. God is a man and God is a woman. So the women of the Western worlds, they often rally around or rally against the various conventional religions. And they say the conventional religions, Buddhism and the majority of Hinduism and Christianity, are chauvinistic male-based religions. Chauvinistic male-predominated or Purusha-oriented religions. And they don't give any emphasis to the Shakti, but only to the Shaktiman. But as you look at the philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, especially in Bengal, they have a lot of people that worship the Shakti. They're known as Shaktas. Like we're bhaktas. Bhaktas means we have devotion for Krishna. Bhakti means for God, for Krishna, or Vishnu, or Narayan, or Ram. It means for Bhagavan, Bhagavan Bhakti. So they're known as Shaktas. So they worship Parvati or Durga, or the material energy, Mahamaya, for various benefits. So she's a female. And she has various forms. She has different avatars, Kali Bhairav, and Chandi, and Vaishnavi, and so many different forms that she has to manipulate and maneuver the material energy, which she is represents as a personification of. So in our line of the Gaudiya Vaishnava line of Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva philosophy, which was propagated Mahaprabhu, we worship the Shakti and the Shaktiman. So we worship God as a woman, and we worship God as a man. As Radha is God as a woman, and Krishna is God as a man. So no one can accuse us of being chauvinistic, or male-based or Purusha-oriented religion. In fact, if you look close at Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you will find that this is a haven. This should be the great haven for all women's livers. All women's livers around the world or in India that want equality of women, or they want to, you know, they say all religions of the world are bogus, they should be thrown away, rewrite the Bible. Wherever it says his in the Bible, you should change it to hers, or his and hers, or something. I don't know, God the Father should be God the Mother, or something. And you know, they have all these ideas, the Bibles, you know. But in our philosophy, the Paramishtadev is Radharani. And we actually emphasize the Shakti. We emphasize the Shakti. Like Shaktas, we are like, we as Radha Bhaktas or Krishna Bhaktas are actually Shaktas. But we don't worship Durga. We worship the other form of Durga, Radharani. So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings out here in this bhajan, that Radharani is a Sarva Avatari. She's the Sarva Shakti Mool. She's the root and basis of all Shaktis. So those Shaktis or energies or potencies expand from Radharani, and firstly and foremostly, they become the Kaya of Yuha, the direct expansions of Radharani's transcendental body, Ladini, Prema Sarup, her Mahabhav Prema Sarup, Prema Sarupini, of her transcendental form. She expands into her Priya Sakis, the Ashta Sakis. It's called Kaya. Kaya means body, and Vyuha means expansion, like Chatur Vyuha. And then, of course, from those gopis, they expand into other gopis and mandaris, and they expand into the queens of Dwarka, the Mahishis, Dwarka Mahishis. Then the Dwarka Mahishis expand into the Vaikuntha queens, and then the Vaikuntha queens expand into the wives of the demigoddesses, which we explained the other day. in class. And so Sachi, Arundhati, and Saraswati, and Durga and Parvati, they're all expansions of Radharani. So we're Shaktis, but we worship the Ladini Shakti. We don't worship the Pralaya Shakti. The Shaktis worship the Pralaya Shakti, the destructive, tamasic, destructive power of Durga. So Durga is also Radharani. It's explained that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas that are in the mood of Radhadasyam or worshippers of Radharani, or just followers of Mahaprabhu, if they go on the visiting here and there and they enter some temple of Durga or Kali Bhairav in Bengal or South India, when they see that, if they happen by chance to go over there, or they see a poster, they don't see Durga, they don't see Kali Bhairav, they see Radharani. They say, "Oh, Radharani. Oh, Radharani. Munindra Vrinda Vandate Chi Lokashav Kaharani. Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. You know, Radha Kripa Kataksha. Please bestow your sidelong glance of mercy." They don't see this as Durga. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and here in this song, it gives us a very powerful point of philosophy, which is this point. Brahma Shiva Narada Shruti Narayani Radhika Para Raja Pujye Mani Umarama Satya Shachi Chandra Rukmini Radha Avatara Sabe Radha Avatar Radha. He says all the Brahma Shiva Narada Shruti Charis, they all worship all the husbands of these demigoddesses and all the great rishis and sages. Brahma was a husband of Saraswati, and Shiva was a husband of Parvati, and Narada Muni is a great sage, and the Shrutacharis and the Narayani, they worship the dust of Radhika's lotus feet, just like this painting. What is this painting? This painting is Radhastami, 5,000 years ago in Ravel, when Radharani first appeared. She, of course, her birthday every year is in Barsana, because you may appear in the hospital. But that doesn't mean you go every year go to the hospital and celebrate your birthday. I have to go to Delhi Central Hospital or whatever. I have to go to Apollo Hospital, because why? It was my birthday party. I booked 4 rooms over there. We're having a birthday party. No, we don't do like that. So the appearance place of Radhika is in Ravel. And appearance place of Krishna, Yashodananda and Krishna, Vamsidhari, Damodar, Murlihar, is in Gokul. So when Radharani appeared on this wonderful day in Radhastami, the Narada Muni, as we hear in this verse, it says, Brahma Shiva Narada Shuti Narayani Radhika Pararaj Pujaye Mani. They have honor, they have respect and honor for the lotus feet of Radharani, and they want the Radhika Padaraj. They want the dust of her feet. They worship it. Radhika Padaraj, like we say, Brajaraj. You know this term. You've heard Brajaraj. So this Radhika Padaraj Pujaye, Mani. Mani means they have the conception, like Abhiman. Like we say, Amanina, Mani Dena. So they have the conception or the idea that the most important thing for us to do is to puja, to worship the dust of Radharani's feet. And that also is also explained by Uddhava Mahashay. Uddhava Mahashay, in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, he reveals, after living with the gopis for several months and reminding them of Krishna, after Krishna had gone to Mathura, he sent Uddhava back to the gopis in Vrindavan, to Radhika and Lalita, and conveyed a message. Please try to tell them I'm okay, and tell them about my pastimes, and if they hear about my pastimes, they will feel some relief. So Uddhava did that, and then as he was there trying to tell about Krishna's pastimes, he witnessed such extraordinary bhavs and love that they had, that he couldn't imagine that it would be possible for anyone to have such love. So at that time he prayed, in the Bhagavatam, he prayed to become a creeper, Goma Lata. He said, "Oh my Lord, oh Gopikas, oh Radharani, please bless me that in my future life I can become a lata, just a small, tiny little plant growing on the ground, anywhere in Braj, on the hither and thither path, even here on the side of Kusum Sarovar or any place, and I'll be thus there as a little blade, like a little creeper, like a little blade of grass, Trinada Pisunichena, Torori Vasahishana. And then the gopis will come over there. The gopis will wander there picking flowers, or they're going for a different abhisar with Krishna, or just going playing or selling milk or yogurt. They'll be moving. And they will step on me. And when they step on me, my form of grass, and my body is grass, then the dust of their feet will come on my head. So this is Radhika. This is what it said here. Radhika Padaraja Pujye Mani. They had that desire, that conception. So Uddhava had that conception. Narada has that conception. The Srutichari Rishis have that conception. The Dandakaranya sages, Brahma, Shiva, everyone has that desire to worship the dust of the feet. So that's, we maybe know. But then the next verse it says, so that's the position of the husbands. Now what is the position of the wives of the demigods? The position of the wives is that they are simply expansions of Radharani. Because that's what it says. Uma Rama Satya Shachi Chanda Rukmini Radha Avatara Sabha Amnaya Vani. They're Amnaya Vani. They're all expansions. They're Amnaya. Revealed scriptures declare that Uma, Uma is the wife of Shiva, Parvati or Uma. Rama, Rama is the wife of Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu. So that's the Vaikuntha, queens of Vaikuntha, goddess of fortune. And Satya, Satya is, that's the wife of Indra. No, Satya's the wife of Indra. Who's Satya? Maybe Satyabhama. Anyway, Chandravali. Chandravali is expanded from Radharani, all these. And Rukmini, they're all Radha's expansions. So this brings home the point that we mentioned, that Radharani is a Sarva Shakti Mool. She's the root or the basis or the foundation of all female personalities, even in this material world. You know, she expands in this material world. Is that amazing? No. Does Krishna expand in the material world? Yes. So? How does he expand? Purushavatars. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. But he has expansions in the material world that are functioning in the material world, right? Specifically. So these expansions of Radharani are functioning in the material world. As Vishnu is expanding in the material world, so these demigods are also expanded. They're expanded from Vishnu. And their wives are expanded from Radharani. Vishnu is expanded from Krishna. So everything is coming from Radha and Krishna. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, verse 8, I believe, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matasa sarvam pavartate iti matva vajanti mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. He says, I am the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, prabhav, prabhav, I've manifested. Aham sarvasya prabhav. Everything you see, everything is manifested. I am the source of everything. From me all these universes come. And I'm maintaining all these universes. The point about the demigods is a good question. You're saying, well, the wives of demigods are expansions of Radharani. So that means, but they have material bodies. So how does Radharani take a material body? Because when Krishna expands in the material world as the Purusha avatar, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shirdakshay Vishnu, are they material? No, they're spiritual. Avajjanti Mahamudha, Manushim Tanamashritaha. It's considered your great fool or great mudha. If you avajjananti ma mudha, you're a great fool if you think that when Krishna takes a manusham roop, avajjananti ma mudha, manusham, when he takes a human manu, manu means human form, if you think a manusha roop, that he's a human being made of flesh and blood and bones and all that, then you're a great mudha, great ass, fool. So his body is divya kalevaram, transcendental and spiritual, sachidananda bigraha. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Bigra Anadi Radhir Govinda Sarvakarana Kanan. So Acharyas explain, which further supports this point, that there are two types of demigods. Now this is a new point for you. Two types of demigods. There's the prototype demigods that are spiritual. They are spiritual. They have Divya Kalevaram. They have spiritual. There's a spiritual Sachi and a spiritual Shiva and a spiritual Brahma and a spiritual all these things. And they are expanded from Radharani, etc. And then they have their counterparts. For example, have you ever heard of the wife of Lord Narayan? Lord Narayan has a wife, and her name is Saraswati. If you read Brahma Samhita with your mind open and your eyes open, you'll see that Brahma was in ignorance. He was alone. There was one egg jiva, Atbabu. He was self-born, original person, born from Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And there was no wife, there was no husband. I mean, there was a husband, there was a man, there was no wife, there was no anything. Just darkness, tama, everywhere. So he heard this tapa, tapa. He meditated for 1,000 celestial years. Then Narayan was very pleased with his tapa, just like he was pleased with Dhruva's tapa, and he was pleased with this one and that one. And then he didn't come himself, he sent his wife. What was his wife's name? Dibya Saraswati. Saraswati. Dibya. What does that mean? Dibya. Dibya means transcendental. So then she gave him Gopal mantra, Krishna mantra, Klim Krishnaya Govindaya, etc. So he meditated on that for another 1,000 years, and then he heard Krishna's flute, and he heard Brahma Gayatri, and he had darshan of the spiritual world and so many things. And then he spoke, he heard in his ear holes the flute of Krishna that came out of his 8 mouths as Kam Gayatri, Klim Kamadevaya Vidman. So this indicate then he became acquainted when the Brahma Gayatri, when Krishna's flute came, it carried with it Brahma Gayatri and Kam Gayatri and Krishna's flute. First the Brahma Gayatri entered his ears, and then just a split, and that cleansed him and filled him with all transcendental knowledge, and he became fully aware of his duty and activities. Then immediately after that, he was inspired. He heard the flute sound of Krishna, so they came together, Brahma Gayatri and Kam Gayatri. So then, when he became acquainted with all the knowledge of this Bhura Bhuvaswa, by chanting Bhura Bhuvaswa, Om Bhura Bhuvaswa, and hearing that from Krishna, he became acquainted with all knowledge, all Sarvaved, all knowledge. So all knowledge means knowledge of creation, how to build a planet, how to make a planet, how to make a body, how to make a man, woman, etc. So then he began his activity of creation. Brahma is the creator of the bodies, not of life. He doesn't create body, life, he creates the body. Life is eternal, it's the expansion of Krishna. Anuchit. They are, all living entities are rays of consciousness from the Supreme Lord and living entities, Satchit Ananda. So, he created, so to do his creation, he also said, well, that'd be nice to have a wife. So he created a wife, and he was saying, well, what should I call her? Well, I saw a really nice girl a long time ago. I met a really pretty girl when I first was sitting on this lotus flower. And I think I'll name my wife after Narayan's wife. By coincidence. So I call her what? Saraswati. Did he call her Divya Saraswati? No. Does Brahma create spiritual bodies? No. So she had a material body. So this point and other points, the acharyas explain that there are prototype demigoddesses and demigods that are spiritual. There's a Sadashiva Loka, Sadashiva. Then there's also Mount Kailash or Kailash Loka in this world, in this material universe. So beyond this material universe, in the border of Vaikuntha, in the Vaikuntha region but the outer region, there's a spiritual planet called Sadashiva. Sad means Sat. Sat means eternal. Sat-Chit Ananda. Eternally existing. And Lord Shiva lives there with Parvati. And that Parvati is an expansion of Radharani. That Uma is an expansion of Radharani. And then those prototype means the original, the foundation. Those prototype spiritual demigods and demigoddesses who are actually expansions of Radha and Krishna, they expand into this material world in their counterpart form. So Divya Saraswati expanded that to be Brahma's wife, as the material Saraswati. So she doesn't have a spiritual body, she has a material body, but she has 4 arms. Like you see the paintings when the students worship Saraswati. She has 4 arms, because Brahma has 4 arms also. And she gives the same, serves in a similar way as Divya Saraswati. She gives mantra, she gives shruti, and she gives music, and she gives she's Vag Ishvara, or Vag Ishvari. She's a controller of speech, Vag. Vagishvara. So in these ways, there's many, many tattvas, but this is a beautiful revelation here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our acharyas, about the position that how Radharani is all around us and everywhere to be contacted. Describing how this morning in Radharani's appearance day in Barshana, there was so much rain was falling. Just at 5 o'clock, just before they started ringing the bells and Just before they gave the darshan, the demigods were just showering rain like anything. Because, you know, barshana means rain. So why is barshana called, why Radharani, why is Nandagram is Nandagram? So it's named after two things. One thing is Nandishvara. So Lord Shiva expands himself, Nandishvara. So Nandishvara means the Ishvara of Nanda, or Nandi. Nandi is a bull carrier of Shiva, and he's the controller of that bull carrier, so he's known as Nandishvara. So the form, so Lord Shiva, when Krishna was in this, coming this world, he wanted to do some seva. So he said, can I do any kind of seva? I just, you know, just stand on me, walk on me, anything. Alright, I'll build my palace on your head. So then Shiva became a mountain, because Shiva's always holding something on his head. He holds the Ganga on his head. When the Ganga wanted to come into this universe, the Suraduni Ganga from the celestial regions, she said, hey, Baba, you know, I will come in with such force to the earth planet, I'll knock a hole right in the earth, I'll just knock the thing right to Patal Loka. Who's going to catch me? Who has the power to catch me when I come down there? And then he said, oh, well, I don't know. Shiva. Well, Shiva, you know, he just sits in her meditation, she comes right on his head, and she gets caught in the curls of his jat. Jat means his dreadlock, you know, his dreadlocks or dreadlocks, whatever they call it. Jat. It's called jat. Jat or jat? I mean, he's like that. And so powerful is Ganga, she's thinking, who can catch me? Lord Shiva's just there completely dear, like, it's like sometimes a fly lands on your head, but you don't know it. You know, if a bird lands on your head, you know, put something there, you know it. But if a fly lands there, you don't feel it. So he was just, it was like getting a shampoo where he didn't even feel it. So then it was in his hair, it was just moving around, it was all caught in the coils of his top knot. So then, Bhagirathi, and they said, hey, you know, you're supposed to come out, you know, come to the earth. Oh, so then he went like this. He just went like that, and the Ganga came out. So, you know, he's called Gangadhar. A name for Lord Shiva is called Gangadhar. Dhar means carrier. Murlidhar, the carrier of the Murli. Haladhar, carrier of the flute. Chakradhar, carrier of the chakra. So the Gangadhar means one who carries the Ganga. So he carries the Ganga on his head, so he's so powerful. So he carries Ganga on his head, so what's not a big deal to carry Krishna on your head? So he became a mountain. He became a mountain. And that's called Nandishvar Hill. Called Nandishvar Hill. And that town there is called Nandagaon. So that means the village of Nandishvar, or you could say the village of Nanda Maharaj, different ways to look at it. And but now Radharani, Brahma, he didn't want to be outdone, because Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh all came here to Braj. So Shiva came as Nandishvar Hill, Nandagaon, and Brahma came as Barshana. And then, what about Vishnu? How did he come? Giriraj! Giriraj Dharaniki Jai! Did you know that? Giriraj is the manifestation of Vishnu in this world. So we have Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. They all want to do service here. So Vishnu came as Haridas Varya. So when Vishnu comes to serve Hari, when Vishnu comes, you know, because just like Lakshmi wants to take part in Krishna, Hari or Krishna's pastime, so she does tapasya in Balvan, right? Right across the river is Balvan, one of the daughters of Van, Balvan, Bilvavan, Lakshmivan. So she's doing tapasya so she can serve Krishna. So then Vishnu said, well, wait a minute, you're leaving to go serve, you know, do austerity so you can become a gopi and, you know, serve Krishna. What about me? What about me, Vishnu? What am I going to do to serve Krishna? I don't know, that's your problem, man. I'm going to be a gopi. You know, you want to be a gopi? Nah, I don't want to be a gopi. Well, be something. He says, all right, I'll be a mountain. You know, Shiva's going to be a mountain, and Brahma's going to be a mountain. Well, damn it, I'll be a mountain too. But I'm not going to be ordinary. Giri means mountain. I'm not going to be an ordinary Giri. You know what I'm going to be? Giriraj. I'm going to be the king of all the mountains. There's Nandishvara, Brahma, and Varshana, but no. I'm Giriraj. Because I'm Vishnu. I'm better than this guy, Shiva and Brahma. Everybody knows that. They get in trouble all the time. They always come to me, hey, help, 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 you know. So I'll be the Giriraj. So when Vishnu wants to come to serve Krishna, he takes the form of Giriraj. And when he's Giriraj, he's known as Haridas Varya. And the gopis glorify him in Bhagavatam. Oh, Giriraj, oh, Haridas Varya. But within Vishnu is Krishna, within Krishna is Vishnu, his absolute avatar. So then, although he's Giriraj, he's a servant, he's Hari Dasvari, he's the greatest of the servants of Hari. Hari means Shamas Sundar Damodar. This is also me. This is also me. And Krishna picked up the hill and then he manifested from the hill. Just as Vishnu comes out of Krishna to kill the demons, so Krishna can also come out of Vishnu. How is that fact? Fact is, Vishnu's in your heart as Chaitaguru. Chaitaguru, Antriyami, Chaturbhuj Narayan. But by your smara, by your meditation, by your bhav, that Chaturbhuj Narayan becomes Krishna Shamasundar. Vishnu becomes Krishna, Krishna becomes Vishnu. This is the absolute tattva, paratattva. They just express. Vishnu is expressing a certain percentage of Godhead, and Ram is expressing a certain percentage, and Narayan. And then Shamsundar Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Bhagavan Narayan, Bhagavan Vishnu, Bhagavan Ram. But there's only one Swayam Bhagavan. Who is that? Ette Chamsakala Pumsha, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Shukamuni says in Bhagavatam, Krishna Swayam Swayam Bhagavan. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. So then Krishna wanted to show that yes, I'm also here. Vishnu is here as Giriraj, but I'm also here as Giridhari. Giridhari Sham Hari Marari Shama Pyari Govardhana Dari Govinda Gopal Shri Laralila Priya Priyatam Shri Shama Sham. So this is Krishna. So in Varshana, we're talking about Varshana. And so the point is, why isn't Varshana, why is it called Varshana instead of Nandagram is called Nandagram after Lord Shiva, Nandishvar? So why isn't it called Brahmagaon? Because the hill that Radharani's place is called is Brahma. And the hill that Krishna's place is called Nandishvar, Nandagaon. So the village is called Nandagaon, named after the hill Nandishvar. So the hill is Brahma, so why isn't the village called Brahmagaon? Because Radharani, she doesn't want that. She doesn't want it to be known as that. She wants it to be known as Varshana. Varshana. Because Varshana means rain. Rain means life. Life means mercy. If there's no rain, then the plants get no mercy, then they die. So Varshana is a place where it's always raining. There's always a rain of mercy. So today, when Radharani was appearing at 5 o'clock, at 5 after 5 was her Abhishek, but just before she appeared, the demigods rained so much rain. It was Divya Snan. Just they did their Divya Snan to bathe Radharani. They came to take part and bathe Srimati Radharani before all the Manush, all the men and people of this planet, men and ladies would bathe. Very nice. Very, 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 very auspicious. Very, very auspicious and wonderful day. Already auspicious, but extremely auspicious. By all, everything, everyone's taking part. The Devas are taking part in the puja, and the Manush of this planet, wonderful. Krishna's taking part, Krishna's there. When Radharani's birthday is there, Bharishabhana sends invitation, they come for 4 days. Nanda Baba, Balaram, Yashoda, they all come to Nandagaon for Varshana for 4 days. Have a party, Radharani's birthday party. And they celebrate and they party, and then Radha and Krishna are always sneaking off at every moment to go to Gevarvan. Gevarvan is just where this Mor Kutir is, and Man Kutir, that's all there, that's Gevarvan. All secret private caves, Gevar. Gevar means Gufa, Gufa means cave. So they meet over there and have wonderful sweet pastimes during this time. So, Varshana, so it rained like that. So, also, when it's called Varshana, because Radharani, when she's feeling separation from Krishna, she's also crying. So sometimes they say that Varshana represents the tears of Radharani. The tears of Radharani, the mercy is always showering down in Varshana. Krunamayi. She's very merciful and compassionate for the jivas and for the sadhakas practicing bhakti and trying to serve her Lord. So anywhere she hears someone chant Krishna, 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 hey, she runs over there to give them mercy, give her a shower of mercy. So when she's separated from Krishna, in her pain of separation, she's crying and crying and crying. Varshana, Varsh. So like showers and torrents of tears like a monsoon rain. So she's thinking of Ghanasham. She's thinking of Ghanasham. Ghanasham is like a cloud. But she's thinking, well, Ganesham Kaha, Ganesham Kaha, Ganesham Kaha, where are you? Oh, where are you? My cloud-like Nagar. Oh, my Gana-like Nagar. My cloud-like Nagar. My cloud-like lover. Where are you? Where are you? Why haven't you come? Where are you? Why aren't you here? I'm missing you so much. So in that separation from Ganesham, Ganesham means his color of his body is like a cloud, Gana, like a moon cloud, I mean a rain cloud, monsoon cloud. So when she thinks of, when separation, she absorbs herself in thinking of Ganesham, she thinks of the cloud. And a Ganesham is full of what?
Water.
Water. Ganesham is full of water. And as she thinks of that Ganesham full of water, then she starts crying. Because she, Radharani, is like a lightning strike. She is like a lightning bolt. She is, her color of her body is like a lightning bolt. And when she's feeling separation from Krishna, it's a great pain in her heart. You know, like a pinch. You know, when you get your heart pinched or something, someone says some pinching words, ah. And they just cut you down or they insult you or scold you or they, you know, defame you or just somehow they, you know, it's like, they say, you know, sticks and, you know, it's like, they say, this is, you can hurt someone more with words than you can with weapons. You can hurt someone more with words than you can with, you just, like, you know, if I come with a weapon, boink, I hit one on the head, it hurts for a week. And it's finished. Radharani is feeling this viraha agni, this pain of separation is like a fire burning her heart, and it's just pinching like a sword. It's just like, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the pain of separation is like a javelin in the heart. Javelin's like a spear, you know, spear. You know, a spear is a long pointed shaft with a point on it. You throw at an animal or something, like, you know, some kind of jungle, you know, Adivasi Wala. You know, it's like a big arrow, you know, 10 feet long, 3 meters long. Called javelin. It's a long pole, and then they stick on the end an iron point, like an arrow. Instead of shooting an arrow, you throw it, like a jungle man. Called javelin. And then they have it some sport in Olympics also, throwing the javelin, you know. But that comes from the jungle times and hunting. So he says that this pain of separation from Krishna is like having a javelin. You know, your heart is small. You're stuck in your heart. Because that's what they used during the Middle Ages. They fought with javelins and lances and maces and all these things. The pain of separation like a javelin in her heart. So when she's feeling separation from Ganesham, she's remembering that cloud-like, beautiful form of Krishna. And what happens is, in that pain of separation, of remembering him, that pain becomes like a thunderbolt. Becomes like a lightning bolt. Her pain of separation from Krishna. That lightning bolt is pinching her heart. So that lightning bolt of her pain of separation flies out of her heart and goes to the Ganesham. That lightning bolt goes to the Ganesham in separation. When that lightning bolt of Radharani, you know, lightning bolt of her painful separation penetrates the cloud of Ganesham in separation. What happens when a lightning bolt hits a cloud, rain cloud? Barsh, rain. Cloud is there. Why no rain? Lightning must strike it. When lightning strikes it, then it comes out. So this is why Barshana has the name Barshana. So when Radharani, she's feeling this separation, she's a lightning bolt, she's a lightning streak, and Krishna's a cloud, monsoon cloud, in color and shape and so many things. So she strikes that cloud, and when that cloud is struck, when she absorbs it, when that pain, when she remembers him so much, and she sees him, then she starts crying and crying and crying in separation. And in separation, when she's crying, she chants Maha Mantra. Some acharyas, they tell us, she's chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, feeling that great pain of separation, crying out for Krishna. So Radharani she lives in Barshana, and she's always crying. And so we see the example of Srimati Radharani, that she's always crying for Krishna. And when Krishna came to experience Radharani's bhav and her feelings and her love and happiness as Mahaprabhu, he was always crying also. And the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they're also always crying. Hey Radhe, Vrajadevi ke chalalite, hey Nanda suno kutaha. Sadhguru Swamis and Srinivasacharya's Goswami Ashtaka, They're always crying, oh Radhe, oh Brajadevike, oh Brajadevi, oh Radharani, oh Krishna, where are you, where are you? So Radharani's always crying and chanting Maha Mantra, crying in separation, Krishna kaha, where are you? So, as Radharani is always crying for Krishna, and we as sadhakas following Radharani, like following Goswamis, we must also cry for Krishna. So Barshana is a place where you can go and cry for Krishna. You can cry rains and rains and rains. So the rain of Radharani's mercy is flowing there. Because she, in that place, she cried so many times for Krishna. So the place is drenched. Barshana is drenched in the tears of Radharani's separation from Krishna. And also she cried tears of joy. Because there's tears of happiness. There's Premananda Ashru, Premashru. Premananda Ashru, and there's Viraha, Viraha Premashru. Viraha Premashru is the tears of pain of separation. But then there's Premananda. Premananda Ashru, the tears of loving union. When the lovers meet, they're so happy after the painful separation that they don't know whether to laugh or cry or joke or, you know, sham, you know, pyariji, pyariju, you know, and they just, you know, just start crying. It's actually mentioned in Ujjala Nilamani that there's one type of bhav, it's called Kalahantarita bhav, where Radharani exhibits seven different symptoms of ecstasy at once. She laughs, she's laughing at one time, simultaneously at one time. She exhibits, she's laughing, and she's crying, and she's, you know, pouting, and she's all these different emotions at once. She's anger, and she's laughing, and she's crying, all at once. So Radharani is, when she's in happiness and she has so many beautiful pastimes in Gevravan, which is her personal garden, which she personally grows with her own hands. And Gevravan is it's the private garden of Srimati Radharani, which is in the hills. It's one of the faces. There's four faces of Brahma, so four mountains. Radharani's playground and palace is situated on four mountains. There's Vilasgar, Mangar, and Dangar. And then her palace is on one gar. So these three gars are there. And then the fourth gar, her mountain, is her palace, her home. So Gevravan is part of Mangar and Dangar. These caves are there. So when Radharani's there, she cries so many tears of happiness, so many tears of prema. So Barshana is just raining with the mercy of Radharani. And when Barshana and Krishna is in Nandagaon, she's feeling separation and she's crying this viraha prem ashru, these tears of loving separation from Krishna. So that's why Barshana is named Barshana. There's so many tears, so much rain is falling from there. And the rainfall of ecstatic tears of love and ecstatic tears of love and separation. The devotees go there to visit Barshana, to try to cry for Krishna, as Radharani is teaching us to cry for Krishna. Cry in love for Krishna, cry in loving union. If we ever meet Krishna or ever have opportunity to directly serve Krishna, we'll cry in happiness. Or, moreover, our actual position is we're separated from Krishna. Hopelessly and helplessly separated from Krishna. We have not begun to serve Krishna. We have not even begun to serve Krishna. Because Krishna is served by prema. When we come to the platform of prema, then we can serve Krishna. Until that time, it's all called sadhana. Practice. And even that has two features. We have to practice vaidhi, then we have to practice rag, and we have to go high and further and advance and progress and purify and get attachment, anartha nivritti, and nishta, and ruchi, and then finally prema. Then in prema we begin to serve Krishna. So we have to cry a lot. Once our godbrother, Gaura Govinda Swami Maharaj, he said, in our ISKCON Bhuvaneshwar, we're opening a crying school. I'm opening a crying school. Everyone bring your handkerchiefs over here, and a box of, you know, Kleenex or whatever, and you're going to cry for Krishna. Mahaprabhu is teaching us here in this beautiful shloka how to cry for Krishna. We have to cry for Krishna. Shrimati Radharani ki jai. Radharani Savarbhavtiti Mahotsava ki jai.